Begin the current daf, Masech the Sanhedrin daf Hey. Begin on the bottom line of daf Dalam Abayis, where the Gemara continues discussing the opening line of our Masech, of our first Mishnah, which spoke about, like the title of the perek, Din Mamonos B'Shleisha, monetary law has to be adjudicated by three judges. However, our Gemara adds on another piece to that halacha. Turn about one Abayisa. Din Mamonos B'Shleisha, monetary law has to be with three judges. However, as we continue on top of Heyam and Aleph, Vim Hoya Mumchel Rabim, but if he was a professional, if he was someone that was very clearly far and shoulders ahead of everyone else, that he was able to be aware of different things for the public, then Dana Fili Yechidi, then he could even judge as an individual, like the Pasuk says in the Yikir Tes, B'Tzedek Tish Bar HaMisech, which says in the singular, with justice you should judge. And which, as Rashi points out, that obviously because the mandam of this braisa holds that we do not say ear of parashias, because we are taught in the previous daf that regarding dinim mamonos, it says three times elikim, which we say it's not by shem echinim, although that's where it's written, but rather it's in reference to halachas of halvais regarding dinim mamonos, and that's where we said that it would require three judges. Here, with the Tanya, the braisa is saying that no, you don't need to have three judges. Rather, if you're a mumche, if someone that you're very well versed, then you could even do it as an individual. Obviously, it does not hold to that concept, and therefore, even one judge would be valid if he's a mumcha. Amr Rav Nachman, he commented, he says, someone like me, who's a mumcha, someone that's really proficient in law, could go ahead and judge as an individual. Someone like me could go ahead and judge in monetary law as an individual judge, as a sole judge. Now, Ibaglu, that the following question regarding the statement that Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya had made. Could Goyna know when they said, for example, like me? What does it mean, like me? The Gemirna didn't mean because you have the following characteristics. First of all, I'm learned because I heard these teachings from my teachers. And the Severna, I also know how to use my logic to add on and to resolve different concepts and variables from my own understanding. And third of all, Venikit Nereshusa. I also, meaning both Rav Nachman and Rav Chiya, had this quality, that, and I took permission from the Resh Galusa, who is the head of the exiles in Bavel, that I could go ahead and gave me permission to judge monetary law by myself. Those three characteristics are necessary to be done Yechidi. But if, let's say, someone is Gemirna and he's Severna, but he didn't take permission from the Resh Galusa, then his law would not be valid as an individual. And actually, even after he would pass in the law, you would say that the whole thing goes, it's thrown out, and it's not a valid court case. Because you need to have also the quality that he took permission. Maybe no, even if he didn't take permission, dina dina, it's still going to be qualified as law, because according to the basic concepts, he's gemirna and he's severna, he knows and he's able to use his svaris, his logic. And therefore, even if he didn't take permission, which we'll see there is another quality one gets if he takes permission, but that's the question, do we say that it's fundamentally not going to even be a din taira if you don't have permission, or it would be qualified as a din taira even if he didn't take permission from the head of the Jewish people, from the Resh Galusa? So the Masechta Toshma coming here, we can bring a raya, because the Marzutra Bereder of Nachman Don Dina, he went and judged a court case by himself, Vita, and he made an error. Asla came to Rav Yosef, so he came in from the Rav Yosef to say, what's halacha? I, the judge, made a mistake, and now because of that, there were certain things that happened. So Amalei, so Rav Yosef said to him as follows, he says, Im kiblucha alayu, if they accepted you upon them totally, to go after what you paskin, whether if you make the right law or you make an error, and they're not going to claim anything from you, then like tasham, obviously you don't have to pay them because they accepted no matter what your ruling is going to be. But viloi, but if not, if they didn't accept if your errors too, because they had told you, no, judges like the laws of the Torah, and you didn't, you made an error, then zil sholem, then you have to go ahead and compensate them for the erroneous ruling that you had made. But one thing that we see is that he didn't say that, however, your ruling is totally overturned, and rather that he just told him to go ahead and pay. So Shema Menoah, what we can infer from this is that obviously someone that's Gomer B'Savar, like Marzut Reid of Nachman was, where he was learned and he knew how to use his logic, that the halacha is, Kileinokid Rishusa, that even though he didn't have permission from the Resh Galusa, Dine Dina, his ruling is a valid ruling, And therefore, it's not like as if it wasn't any ruling. Look, he made a mistake, so he has to compensate. But if you said it wasn't a din at all, he wouldn't compensate. He would say, throw out the ruling. It's like what he said had no halachic significance. Shemama, no, we could infer from this that yes, that even if someone has gemirna v'sevirna and doesn't have rishus from the Resh Galusa, but if he's qualified, he could be done yechidi. And if in this case, it was a valid din, in the sense of that it was executed, and but because he made an error, that's why he had to go ahead and compensate the parties that were hurt because of the erroneous psak. Amar Rav. Rav said, continuing on this theme, he says, "Hayman deboy lemeidin dinam." Someone wants to go ahead and judge a court case. Ve'ita miboy lemifter, and if he's going to make a mistake, he's going to want to exempt himself. Lishkol reshus mi beresh galusa. That's what we alluded to before. He should take permission from the Resh Galusa. So the Shmuel says, Lishkol reshus mi beresh galusa. He should take permission from the Resh Galusa, where if he gets permission, then even if he makes a mistake, he's going to be exempt. He's not going to have to compensate. That's the quality of taking from the Resh Galusa. Although we said that you could pasuk in yechidi even without, but if you want to exempt yourself and make sure that you're not going to be held liable, then take permission from the Resh Galusa. Now, as Gemara follows up on this halacha and says, pshit, it's obvious as follows. Mehacha, from here, meaning if one gets permission from the Resh Galusa in Bavel, lahacha, to go ahead and judge laws in Bavel, and umihasim, from there, meaning if someone gets permission from the Nasi, which is the equivalent of the Resh Galusa in Bavel, is the prince in Eretz Yisrael, lahasim, to paskin and to judge laws in Eretz Yisrael, of course, mani, that's going to work. Wherever you get permission from that place, that'll work to exempt the judge from an erroneous ruling for liability. Now, so too, mahach lahasim namimhani, from here in Bavel, to work, if someone's going to go ahead and paskin in Eretz Yisrael, will also work to exempt him. Why? Because we have a greater reign of authority as rulers of the Jewish people in here in Bavel than in Eretz Yisrael, because the Hacha Shevet. Here in Bavel, says the Gemara, the leadership of the Jewish people is considered like a scepter, like a stick, which is a terminology of ruling. And the reason for that is because they have permission to go ahead and declare someone's money ownerless, where that's based on the halachic concept of hefke bez and hefke, as we find in Ezra, that says, b'cholesh el yava, whoever's not going to come, as the Gemara elaborates in Yevamos, that peitesim beis, that's when they carry the stick, which is the quality, as the Gemara is going to explain shortly, that applies to Bavel. Whereas v'hasa machaikik, there in Eretz Yisrael, it's a smaller level of authority, where it's just like the lawgiver, the legislator. And therefore, the reign that applies to the leadership here will definitely work for over there. Ketan lekalun the brayis. The pasuk says in Bereishis that from the Birchas Yaakov lo yaser shevim Yehuda, that the scepter will never be removed from the tribe of Judah of Yehuda. Says the brayis. So what's that referring to? Elu rasha goliyah shebabavel. That refers to the heads of the diaspora in Bavel. She raiden es Yisrael b'shevet, that they're able to go after the Jewish people with a stick. And that is because they actually had the authority and the permission from the Persian rulers to go ahead and do whatever it takes to execute their law. Whereas when the pasuk continues in Mechekim Bein Raglam, and never will there also be removed the lawgivers from between the legs of the people of Yehuda, that's Elu B'nei Banav Shel Hill. That refers to the grandchildren of Hill, who Hill was a Nasi, and Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Samach Vav Mem Aleph, that when he came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, they made him the leader, and they appointed him the Nasi over them. Where they teach Torah to the public, which that's the lawgivers. That's a lower level of authority than in Bavel. So in Bavel, it's going to work and extend even for Eretz Yisrael. But the question is, what's halacha if someone gets permission to paskin from the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, which are a lower level of authority to exempt someone to say, like you could say, Hefke, Bezen, Hefke, then Bavel. And then he goes down to Bavel and he paskins over there. What would the halacha be with the permission from Eretz Yisrael work and extend even to exempt him in Bavel? So the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here, let's bring a raya. The Rabbi Bar Bachana don dina. He would judge in Bavel and Betah, and he made a mistake. Now, Asa, he came to Eretz Yisrael, Lekamed Reb Chiya, in front of Reb Chiya, and to know and to wonder what's the halacha, what's the ramifications where he made a mistake in his psak. So Reb Chiya said to him, Ikeb Lucha Alayhu, like the Shama, as we said before, if they accept it upon you, no matter what the judgment is going to be, whether right or wrong, so then you're exempt, you don't have to pay. V'loi Zilshlim, but if not, you have to go ahead and compensate the wronged party. Now, says the Gemara, V'arabba Bachana, Rishusa Havanakin. He actually had permission from Rebbe, who was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, as the Gemara tells us later on from the incident regarding his going down to Bavel. So Shema Mino, what we can infer from there, is Mahasim Lahacha Loi Mahani. The permission from Eretz Yisrael to over here in Bavel, where he had Paskin here in Bavel, and he made a mistake, so he went up to Eretz Yisrael to ask a Shaila where he was originally from, and he was told that he's going to have to pay the wrong parties. The permission he got from Eretz Yisrael does not work. So Shema Mino, that answers our question, that from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael it works, but from Eretz Yisrael that permission does not work in Bavel. That's not enough of an authority, the Mechaikik, as the Shevet is, to work in Bavel. Now that the Gemara asks, V'loy Mahani? Is that really so that it doesn't work? But when he would contend with the household of the Resh Galusa in Bavel, he would tell them, I didn't take permission from you people. In other words, I'm not subservient to you. I got permission to paskin from my father, my teacher, he got permission from Rav. Whereas Tosfos points out that his father had taken permission to paskin from Rav. And what that means to say is because Rav, who, as we're going to shortly see, got permission from others, could go ahead and give, then extend that permission to others. So he's saying that, look, I got from my father got from Rav. For Rav Rebchia Merebi, and those are people, those are tzaddikim tamilcham from Eretz Yisrael. So those are the rules. That's the Rebbe was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where the permission that he had to paskin extended to. So if you're saying that it's lower level than Bavel and doesn't work, so what's he contending with the Resh Galusa saying, well, I don't have to shteltzu to you. What do you mean? If you actually got permission from us, you're going to actually be greater. So what are you saying? You don't have to go ahead and you're not under us. To the contrary, you have from Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't even come as a playing field here in Bavel. So he says, Gemara, you're right, but milsa da amahu da okim lo. It was just words that he was telling them. You're right. He was saying, I don't have anything to do with you. I got permission from Eretz Yisrael, but you're right. It doesn't work here in Bavel. The rishus that he has would not exempt him if he made an error in his ruling. No, so the Gemara asks, v'chim achad le mahani. So then if it doesn't help the rishus that he got from Eretz Yisrael to here in Bavel, so Rabbi Bar Chana rishus did not get lamali. So Rabbi Bar Chana, who in the previous incident had gone down to Bavel, made a mistake, and therefore he had to compensate, although he had permission. Why did he take permission to paskin in Eretz Yisrael before he left to come down to Bavel if it doesn't help to exempt him in Bavel? Says the Gemara, La Yaris Ha'imdim Alagvul. You're right, it doesn't help in Bavel per se. It helps from the cities that are on the boundary, on the border, which are closer to Eretz Yisrael, which then their rulings are subservient to the rulings of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore that would exempt him. Bavel proper would not. And therefore he was liable to pay. But those on the border, those are closer to Eretz Yisrael. It's for those towns where if he would paskin over there, that he would be exempt from the rishus that he has in Eretz Yisrael. So nothing more clarifies what we were mentioning. My rishusa, what is this, as we said previously, to prove that story, that Rabbi Bar Chana had permission in Eretz Yisrael, and yet in spite of that he was liable to pay for his erroneous ruling in Bavel. What was this rishus that he had? So the Gemara says, when he went down from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amalei Reb Chiya LeRebbe. So Reb Chiya said to Rebbe, Ben Achi Yared LeBavel. My brother's son, my nephew, is going down to Bavel, which was this Rabbi Bar Chana. Yaira, could he paskin? Could he teach the laws of what's called Issa VeHeter, which are prohibitory law? So Rebbe says, Yeah, he could go ahead and teach. He could paskin. Which Gemara later on is going to ask, if he's learned it, so why does he need permission to paskin? You either know it or you don't know it. What does it help to get permission? So he asked him, Yadin, could he judge monetary law? And the concept was with permission, which then that would exempt him from paying if he makes an error. So he said, yeah, Yadin, he has permission to go ahead and judge monetary law. So he asked him, Yatab b'b'chayris, could he go ahead and permit the firstborn animals? In other words, what that means to say that they viewed the animal to see if there's blemishes. If there's a permanent blemish in that firstborn animal, that permits it for the owner to go ahead and slaughter it. And the reason is because in the days of Rebbe, the firstborn animal had no rectification until it had a blemish because it was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Times of the Beis HaMikdash, and then it was given over in the form of a carbon. But now that there's no more Beis HaMikdash and the times of Rebbe, so they have to just wait till it develops a blemish, and you always have to show it to the dayan to say, is it okay? Is it a blemish? Can we go ahead and slaughter it? So he asked him, does he have that authority to? And he says, Yatra, yeah, he can go ahead and permit the firstborns. Now, in contrast, Kevinachas, so that was the incident that I was referring to, that he had Rishus, and again, although it didn't help for Bavel itself, for him to be exempt. Now, Kevinachas, Rav Labavel, and Rav was going down to Bavel. Amalei Reb Chiya LeRebbe, again, Reb Chiya was telling Rebbe, Ben Achaisi Yared LeBavel. My nephew, but it's my sister's son, that's going down to Bavel. Yair, could he paskin? Estevehetzer, he says, Yair, yeah, he could paskin. Yadin, could he judge monetary law? Yadin, he could judge, which is known as Yair, Yair, Yadin, Yadin, which we use it in borrowed terms, this concept in Smicha. Someone does in Yeridei or Cheshemishpat, which is the concept of prohibitory law, monetary law. So he says, Yatu bebechayrit, could he permit firstborns too? So he says, Al Yatu, no, that he cannot do, which later on the Gemara is going to explain why by Rav did he not let him. Now, but first the Gemara asks, Maishno Lamar, why is it when Reb Chiya was describing his nephews, so in the first incident with Rabbi Bar Chana, the Kokari ben Ochi, he called him his nephew, meaning his brother's son, Umayishno Lamar, but when he was describing his other nephew, Rav, the Kokari ben Achaisi, he called him my sister's son. And it explains the Gemara. V'chite mahochi avamayisi, and then you're going to say, because that's what it was, one was his brother's son, one was his daughter's son, V'omamar, but the master said that Evoi, which was the father of Rav, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, Dafdal Men Aleph, when that incident with Reb Chiya, when he found out that his nephew Rav had lost his parents, which was one of his father was Evoi, V'chana, who was the father of Rabba, V'sheila, Umarta, Reb Chiya, all these individuals, Kulu b'nei Abba Ba'acha Karsla, they were all the sons of the same father, Abba Ba'acha Karsla, Mikafri Abba, who was from Kafri. So we see that Reb Chiya had a brother, Evoi, whose son was Rav. So why only by Rav Bar Chana? Was he describing his brother's son, where Chana was Rav's father, but Rav also was his brother's, it was Reb Chiya's brother's son. So why is it only described as his sister's son? So says the Gemara, Rav Bar Achua, yeah, Rav was his brother's son, Dahava Bar Achse, who was also his sister's son. So to differentiate, he called him my sister's son. Rabbi Bar Chana Bar Achua. Rabbi Chana was only his brother's son, Dalab Bar Achse, who was not his sister's son, so there he called him his brother's son. Or V'ibay Seim, or if you want, you could say actually, as the Gemara continues some advice, Hashem Chachmasa, the reason why he called Rav his sister's son was because of the great wisdom of Rav, because Rav was very intelligent, and that's why he called him Ben Achaisai, because like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Emor L'Chachma, tell to wisdom, Achaisi Ad, you're my sister, that's a very close relationship, and that's that describes a person's intelligence, and that's why he called him Ben Achaisai, not just to say on the simple level that it was his sister's son, but actually to refer to the great wisdom of Rav, like we see Chachma is called Achaisi. Now, if that's the case, as the Gemara, then when the incident tells us that when he asked Reb Chiya, when Reb Chiya asked Rebbe regarding Rav, Yate Bechayres, could he permit for his bones? And Rebbe said, Al Yate, he cannot permit it. My time, what's the reason? If you're going to say because he wasn't so intelligent, and therefore he wasn't as great as Rabbi Elchanan to permit even that, but you said that he was very wise, because you answered that it was actually because of his wisdom that you called him Ben Achaisai, in contrast to Rabbi Elchanan, who didn't get that appellation. Now, so Ella, so what are you going to say? No, he's very smart. But Mishum de Libikiya Bamumi, but in this area of Halacha, he was not so proficient. He was not so well versed in laws of blemishes. On that, the Gemara says you can't say that either. Because Vamar Rav himself said about himself, Shmaina Asa Chadoshim Gidalti Etzel Raya Behema. For 18 months, I went and lived by the shepherds of animals, Leide Ezemum Kavu of Ezemum Oiver, to know what is a permanent blemish and what's a temporary blemish. Well, it's only a permanent blemish that permits it to be slaughtered. So 18 months definitely sounds like, especially someone as intelligent of Rav, was very well versed. So what's the reason that he did not permit for Rav to be Mata Bukharis like he did by Rabbi Ochanan? So Ali Rather says the Gemara was lachlik like covered la Rabbi Bochana. Why Rebbe did this was because he wanted that the people of Babel should show honor and deference to Rabbi Bochana. And that's why he left him over that chashivus, because regards to Rav, he was such a great Talmud Chacham, anyways they would show him honor. But if Rav had everything that Rabbi Ochanan had, so then they would just leave Rabbi Ochanan. So to show some deference to Rabbi Ochanan, he left him one thing that he didn't permit for Rav. Or if you want, you could say that the reason why he didn't permit Rav to permit Bechairis, the firstborn animals, is Mishum HaGufa. It's actually to the contrary. That it's because he spent 18 months by the animals and he was so proficient in the laws of the blemishes of animals, that because the Rav Bekiba Mumitveh, he was so proficient in the laws of blemishes, Vishari Mumi Delea the Inchin, he's going to end up permitting blemishes that people they don't recognize that as a blemish, because people are not so scientific about it as he is. Vahamri Kihai Gabna Shah Rav, and they can say, whoa, yes, such a case Rav had permitted. They're going to come to permit temporary blemishes that are not permanent because they're not going to be able to pick up the nuances because Rav was so proficient, and because of that, paradoxically, that's actually the reason why he did not permit him to permit blemishes when he went to Bavel. Now, the Gemara asked a question that we alluded to earlier. The incidents that Reb Chiya asked Rebbe, he says, Yaira, could he paskin this to Vehetter? He says, Yaira, yeah, he could paskin. And that asked the Gemara, Igamer, if he's versed, if he's well learned, Rishus Olam Alila Mishko, what's the purpose of taking permission? Now, although Taisus says that, why didn't the Gemara answer that it was to exempt him? As the Gemara tells us later on, the Lama Gimel at Aleph, where it's obvious that you have to take permission to be exempt if someone makes a mistake in prohibitory law, which could obviously be losses, is this animal kosher or not? So, and that says Taisus, because if it was only to exempt him, then he wouldn't have to take permission by both, which as we see, asked him, Yair, Yair, yeah, and the Yadin Yadin, which was for both prohibitory law and monetary law, it would have been enough with one. So that's the question that the Gemara is asking, that it cannot be to exempt him from liability. So what's the purpose of taking permission? If anyways, if someone's well-learned, let him just go ahead and paskin. Says the Gemara, no, Mishamaisa Shahaya. It's because of an incident that happened, and therefore we need to have permission from a teacher to go ahead. Even if one is well-versed, one has to go ahead and consult with his teacher to go ahead, and the teacher will be able to pick up on different things to make sure that the errors don't happen, as in the following incident. Time like learn the Braisa. One time, Rebbe went to a certain place. Adam, and he saw individuals that they were kneading their doughs in a state of ritual impurity. They weren't particular to make sure that their vessels were pure, which could cause many different ramifications, especially if there's truma, and even if not, regarding people eichlin cholim b'tahara. So Amalehem said to them, why are you kneading your doughs in a state of ritual impurity? So Amalehem, they said to him, well, Tamal Erechad Balakan, one student came over here, V'harulana, and he taught us that Mei Bitsayim, that the waters from a swamp, from a marsh, Ein Machshirin, does not go ahead and make an item, like in this case the dough, does not make it susceptible or vulnerable to Tumah, because the halacha is that a solid has to become Hukshur, has to become vulnerable, susceptible to being mekabel tuma by coming in contact with one of the seven types of liquids, which one of them is water. But this student taught that swamp water that we're kneading with does not go ahead and make the dough susceptible and vulnerable to tuma. That's why we don't care that our keli is tummy, because it's not going to make it tummy anyway, because the dough is not susceptible to tuma. Now, but says the Gemara, but who made beitzim darshlo? It sounds very similar, that word. He didn't say made bitsaim. He said made beitzim. That actually egg water, if someone kneads his dough with the eggs of a chicken or of a goose, that's what Darish Lohu. He expounded to them that if you knead your dough with just eggs, that's what's not going to make it susceptible to Toma. V'inu sava meibitzam kama. They thought he said that swamp water. But and the reason why they made that error, why would they think swamp water would go ahead and not make it susceptible to tumah, is because they made a mistake in the learning from Mishnah Masechtas Para. The people learned that Mishnah that said mei karmiyan umei piga, which are swamps, these are rivers of swamps. So those waters are psulin, are invalid for the utility of the mei chatas, which is the purification waters that have to be used to spray on the person that became richly impure. And the reason, says the Mishnah, is because they're swamp water. And as we'll see shortly, that for the halachas of throwing this purification waters of the paraduma, you need to have mayim chayim el keli. It has to be live waters, which has to be something that has a spring. In contrast, over here, it's swamp water. It's like dead waters. Now, so when they learned that Mishnah Masechtas Para, the inu sovah, so that the people thought, oh, it makes sense what this Talmud taught us. Mindalagabi chatas psili, from the fact that these swamp waters are invalid to be used for the purification waters. So must be because it's not valid water. So therefore it doesn't also make a food item, in this case our dough, susceptible to tuma. Now but says the Gemara Velohi, but that's not the case. Hasab linichatas, that's regarding the purification waters, be in a mayim chayim. It has to be live water, so swamp is not live waters. But here, any type of water is going to make the dough susceptible to tumah. So Tana, they taught, but it was at that time that they decreed, Talmud al Yaira, a student, like in that case it was a student, should not paskin elim kein neitel rishus merabbe until he first takes permission from his teacher. And then when his teacher gives him permission, he's going to first analyze, what are you telling over to these people? he's going to make sure that the wording is clear, that the ones who were hearing what he has to say will not make an error, where if this guy, this Talmud would have gone to his teacher and he would have said, I'm going to tell him, may beitzim, he says, wait a second, you got to be careful. You say may beitzim, it might sound like may bitzayim, and then they're going to come to make an error in halacha like it was in this case, and that's where it started from, this concept of we have to ask Yerik, and you, then the leader could say, yeah, Yerik, you could pass him, but you have to first consult with your teacher. The Gemara continues a related discussion regarding the hachna that a student has to have for his teacher, that he has to be submissive to his teacher. Like we said, you have to first take permission. A similar concept, says the Gemara, Tanchum Bereid Rabami, Ikla Lachasar, he went to this place Chasar, and Doroshlu, he expounded with them the following halacha. Mutter Lilsoy Schitim Pesach, a person is allowed to go ahead and soak the wheat with a little bit of water, like he could go ahead and put it in his mouth, make it a little bit moist, and then grind it in the grinder. And the chiddush in this halacha is, the novelty is that we're not concerned for fermenting in that a little amount of time, which it could be a problem for chametz, because you're grinding it right away, it's not going to be problematic. Now, Amaloi, but they said to him, Lav Remani de min tzur ikahacha, isn't Remani from tzur over here? V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Talmud al yer halacha b'mokam rabbi, a student is not allowed to teach a halacha in the place where his teacher is. Unless his teacher was three parsaras away, Keneged Mach Yisrael, which is the entire area of the Jewish encampment that there was in the Midbar, in the desert, which the concept is that, as we find, whoever wanted to learn something would have to go to the teacher, to Moshe Rabbeinu, as it says in Shema Yislamet Gimel, whoever was seeking Hashem would go to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Rashi says, although the camp itself was three parsars, and then they had to go another parsa to Moshe, who was beyond that, that was only because of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. But in general, for a regular teacher, it would require a distance of three parsars. If you're within three parsars, you can't pass it yourself, you have to go to the teacher. And we know that the Machne Yisrael was three parsars, as the Pasuk said in Bamid Balam and Gimel, that Vayachnu al Yarden, that they were encamping by the Jordan, Mibesa Yeshimis ad Evil Ashitim. And Rabbi Babachana says in the Gemara in Mesechtes Ervin and Mesechtes Yuma, that I saw that place and it was three parsi. So therefore, we know the concept that you have to be three parsi away. How could you go out and teach a halacha when your Rebbe is here? So Amalui said to them, Laba Daitoy, I was not aware, you're right, which again this teaches us another concept with a student to a teacher. If the teacher is there, the student can't even pass in the halacha. Reb Chiya Chazir Lahu Gabba, the Gemara tells us that Reb Chiya saw a certain individual, Davakoy Bebes HaKvaris, who was standing in the cemetery. Amalei said to that person, Lav Ben Ish Plain Nikoyinata, aren't you the son of that man who's a Kohen, which makes you a Kohen? If you're a Kohen's not allowed to become richly impure. How are you in the cemetery? Amalei in, he says, yes, I'm the son of that man, but Avu Adahu Gavra, the father of that man, meaning you're talking about my father, Gva Anayim Hava. He was with high eyes, which means to say that he followed the lust of his eyes, and Nasav Enav Begrusha, he put his eyes on a divorcee, meaning he wanted her, he married her, and from that union that I was born, V'chilaloi, and he made that child, meaning me, into a chalal, because a kohen that marries a grusha is forbidden. His child does not have the status of a regular kohen, and therefore I don't have a problem about being a basic kfaris, because I'm not a regular kohen. I'm a chalal, I'm a desecrated child of a kohen who has different halachas. Now, Rashi points out that it's not clear why the Gemara introduces this incident, which Rashi wants to say that the reason why it's here is, it's coming to tell us that even though Reb Chiya, who was the protagonist in this story, was a student of Rebbe, and he was in the place of where Rebbe was, he did not have to, in contrast to the Gemara right before this, give deference and honor to Rebbe, to not paskin, to try to separate this kohen, who he thought was a regular kohen, from doing this isser of being in the cemetery, because in regards to separating someone from doing an isser of violation of law, there the halacha of Mar halacha of Nerabba does not apply, as the Gemara tells us in Erev and Dav Samach Yom and Alf. And that's why he brings the incident here that halacha does not apply. But he brings from the Masechta Shviyas Yerushalmi, in Perek Shal Sharatzis, that he says that this incident is brought, where there was a certain individual in the Beis HaKvaris, where the Gir says, not Reb Chiya that saw him, but rather it was Rebbe. And there was actually two things that Rebbe saw when they went to Akoy. The previous incident, which was brought, that of the Mei Beitzim, that the egg water that's not Makshir, does not make the dough susceptible to Toma, and this incident of the Beis HaKvaris. Now, the Gir says actually not Beis HaKvaris, rather in Akoy. Akoy was a part of Eretz Yisrael, that part of it was in Eretz Yisrael, and part of it was out of Eretz Yisrael. It's called Eretz Am, the lands of the other nations. Now, he saw them that were standing on the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, that there was two things he saw. He saw that they were kneading their doughs in a state of ritual impurity, and he wondered until they told him, because there was a student that told us, Meibitzan. Then additionally, at that timing, he saw a kohen who was standing at the edge of the city, which was beyond the boundary of Eretz Yisrael. And he said, wait a second, you're in the pot of Akwe that's in Eretz Amim, which the Chacham Wagezu that has a tumma like a Beis HaKvaris, like a cemetery. And he told him, well, I'm not a regular kohen, I'm a chal, and that's why these two stories are said right next to each other in the Gemara, because it actually happened together at the same time when Rebbe had gone to Akwe. So those are two different interpretations why the Gemara introduces this incident over here. Now the Gemara returns to what we were talking about before regarding getting permission to paskin. So pshit, it's obvious that lapalga, if someone gets a halfway permission, for example, like we had in the incident of Rav, that he was given permission to judge monetary law and prohibitory law, but he did not have permission to permit the firstborn animals, that hokama demahani, as we said for the incident of Rav, that we said that that works. You can give halfway permission. Not that you could paskin everything, but certain things yes, and certain things not. But al tanai, but let's say on condition, for example, let's say a certain amount of time, up until a year or two, but not more than that, my, what would the halacha be? Does the permission help within that time frame? Or no, you can't just give a partial time that a person's permitted or not. So it's like, Gemara Toshama, come in here. We could prove it to Amalei Rabbi Yechon and Rav Shemin, because Rabbi Yechon said to Rav Shemin when he was leaving from him and going down to Bavel, he said, Hare ata birshuseinu, you're in our permission, meaning our permission to paskin is given over to you to judge, until you come back to us. When you come back to us, then you're under our jurisdiction, meaning then you have to, we're the rabbis and you're the students, you can't paskin. But now that you're leaving, you can go on and paskin as an extension of us. So we see that it was Al-Tanai, where it was only as long as he's away that he can paskin. So you see that even Al-Tanai works too. Now, the Gemara goes back to something that was mentioned on the Gimel Med Aleph Gufa. It was said, returning to the topic of our opening line in our Mishnah in our Masechta, that we said dinim amenis b'shleish, monetary law has to be with three. But Amar Shmuel said beis shadanu, if two judges judge, not three, dinim din, their judgment is valid. Elishanikar besn chatzav, but they're called an audacious court because primarily we want three judges, as our Mishnah says. But after the fact, if they do it two, it's going to work too. On that, yes, Rav Nachman become a lo shmaita. So Rav Nachman was sitting and he was saying over this teaching of Shmuel. So Isvei Rav Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman from a Mishnah later on in Perek Zebayr and Nafchav Tesemet Aleph. The Mishnah says, when there's a court of three people, afilu shnei mezakim or shnei mechayven, even if you have two judges, you already have the majority that said that he's guilty or that he's not guilty, but ve'echad oimer ein yideh, one is absentee, one says that I'm indecisive, I don't know. So you don't say, okay, well, anyways, you have the majority, so we don't care what you say. Either way you would go, it would be like we're saying. That's not the halacha. Says the Mishnah, rather, you see for ad-dayanan. So you have to add on judges, and the reason for that is because the one who says, I don't know, it's like he's not even there. So it turns out that, like, as if there's only two judges, and we need to have that initially, the court should have to have three, because even if we say that for the conclusion of the court case, we only need a majority, and you could have two saying one way, but to start off, the court has to have three. So, since in this case it's like we only have two, so you have to add on more judges. On that, asks Rav Terav Nachman, V'i'isa, but if you hold up Shmuel's halacha, then lahavik kishnayim shadanu. Who cares? Let it be like two judges who judge. So, it's as if one guy's not there. But after the fact, two is good enough. Why do we have to add on more judges? So, that answers the Gemara, Shani Hasan. Well, there it's different. Timi Ikara, because from its inception, that court case, adaited the Tlasi Yasivi. They were sitting with the understanding that it's going to be three judges that are going to paskin. You're right, you maybe don't need to have three. But that was what they accepted upon themselves, three. Now when someone is saying, I don't know, so we're not going to have the three, so that's why you have to add on more. Shmuel's halacha was said when they don't initially sit down to be three, they're sitting down to be two, although they're bezen chatzav, then it's going to work. But if you're accepting three and then one books out, then it's not good enough, then you have to add on more judges to be a court of three. So Gemara continues asking on Shmuel's halacha. Eisvei, we learned in the Braisa, he says, Hadin b'shleisha, judgment, a regular court case has to be with three judges. U'pishar b'shnaim, a compromise can be with two judges. And v'yafak keich pishar mekeich hadin, and it's stronger, the element of compromise, than the strength of judgment. Because sheshnaim shadanu, because we have two judges who judge, balidin yichayil nachseben, the litigants could back out of that judgment. But whereas Rishnaim Shasab Shar, but when you have two judges who made a compromise, in Baladin Nechayin Lachzaban, then the litigants cannot go ahead and back out of it. And the reason is because they already agreed to it, and it was based on their agreement that the two judges went and went and made the compromise. But one thing we see is that regarding when two judges judge, the litigants can back out. Obviously, we don't say like Shmuel that dinayim din. So on that, the Gemara continues the top of Vav Med Aleph, and Bechitim, and if you're going to say to answer Shmuel that you're right, that's Reb Shimon Gamliel. But Pliger Rabban allowed Reb Shimon Gamliel, but the Rabbanon, which we would go like passing halacha, like the majority, and that's who Shmuel is going like, that they disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and they hold that, yeah, of course, it would, you wouldn't be able to back out because the name is Din. But for Amr Bavo, Reb Bavo said clearly, Shnaim Shadonu, when two people judge, L'divrei HaKol ain't the name Din, according to everybody, not just Reb Shimon Gamliel, even according to Rabbanon, their judgment is not a judgment. Says the Gemara, Gavra, Gavra, Karamas, what you're asking on one Amar to another Amar, you're asking from Rav on Shmuel? Shmuel holds that Rabbanan do disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and therefore they would hold, not like this halacha, that even Shnaim Shadanu, that the name would be Din, and the Bali Din would not be able to be Chayzaban, and that's who Shmuel is going like, and therefore there's no difficulty to Shmuel from the halacha of Reb Shimon Gamliel, because it's only like Reb Shimon Gamliel, because Shmuel does not hold like Reb Avoh, and holds that the Rabbanan disagree with Reb Shimon Gamliel, and Shnaim Shadanu, although they're called Bezin Chasiv, but the name Din.